I'm glad you're here, men. Well, we looked at the first session of how God wants us to really come forward, and that was in surrender to what God is going to do. And in the second session, we're going to look and see how we can search out what God wants us to do with our lives, because you've been bought at a very high price. You have been blood bought by Jesus Christ, by the most valuable currency in the entire universe, Jesus' own blood. And so with that comes a great responsibility for you to ask, what would you have me do with my life? Because your life is no longer yours. My life is no longer mine. It belongs to Jesus Christ. So we're going to venture to do that. Let's stand and open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. It comes right before 2 Corinthians in the Bible. Chapter 2, you're welcome, it's what I do. Chapter 12, verses 4 through 7. We'll read and then we'll pray and then I'll let you sit in just a second. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7. Let's read on. The Apostle Paul, by the wonderful working of the Holy Spirit, speaks to these Corinthians who are quite a mess, and he wants to inform them about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And let's read on, verses 4 through 7 of 1 Corinthians 12. There are diversities of gifts. That means many different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, all different ways of the Lord that he works in our lives and that he works to minister in the church, but the same Lord. So we have Spirit, we have Lord, and then finally, and there are diversities, many different types of activities, but the same God. So here we have the Spirit, Lord, and God, the Trinity, all right here, who works all in all. So the Lord is working in each of us. But verse 7 is very important. But the manifestation, that means the way God shows and reveals everything of the Spirit, is given to each one of us for a very important reason. It's not for selfish gain or selfish ambition. Look at those words. This is something to meditate on. You've each been given a gift for what? For yourself? No. For the profit of all. The profit of all. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that you would not only reveal the spiritual gifts today to us, Lord. And for some, they've been operating in those gifts for many years, Lord. For some, it's been a few months. For some, no one's even opened these gifts. They've sat dusty on a shelf, Lord, waiting to be opened. And so today, we pray that the exciting moment, the Christmas moment, the birthday moment would happen. And today, you would help them see their gift, that you would help them step out in faith to begin to search out the gifts that you have for them, Lord. And we're so glad that we don't just have one for sure, but we probably have a few, Lord, and not just limited to one, Lord, but we pray that today you would stir up the gifts in your people, and you would reveal those gifts by the power of your Spirit for the profit of all, for your glory and for the church's good. In Jesus' name, amen. You may take a seat. God generously, and I again say generously, gives each of us spiritual gifts. God is the one who works in us to accomplish his work, not our work. I'm so encouraged to know that my ministry and my office here as a pastor is not entirely dependent upon my abilities. That would be a frightening venture. How scary would that be? There would be no hope for any one of us men in the world if everything depended upon your skills, your intelligence, your training, your ability. We would all be dead meat, just throw in the towel and leave. But no, that's not the way God works. No person is limited. This is the exciting thing about a gift. It's not yours by design. It's God's design, and he's gifted it to you. What does that mean? It means that there's no pressure on you. And no doubt, like Andy shared earlier, you of course work. I work 10 times harder as a pastor than I ever did anywhere else, and I worked super hard before. But I do it with joy. I do it with love. I do it with excitement, with anticipation. Why? Because those gifts are being stirred up and used. It doesn't mean you're lazy, but this is the freedom. We're not limited by our skills, by our intellect, by our abilities, or our training, and that is freeing. God has designed these spiritual gifts to free us up to step out in faith, because it's never dependent upon you. And when you have that realization hit, you start doing things like Peter did, walking on the water. You start stepping out and doing things like facing giants. You start doing things that you would never do in and within your own strength. You do it in the strength of the Lord. The gifts are gifts that come from God, and God works through each of us for his glory and the good of the body of Christ. Do you remember being a kid and waking up on Christmas morning? Man, some of the best gifts in the world were given in the 1980s when I grew up. Because we had things like G.I. Joes, real manly gifts. You know what I'm saying? They had things like fully automatic weapons. We had tanks. We had gunships. We had hovercrafts fully loaded with 50 caliber machine guns. I mean, we had manly gifts back then, Transformers, G.I. Joes. And wasn't it exciting to get out there? There was never one kid. In fact, my brother and I would attack one another to get to the presents, the best presents, because you knew what grandma and grandpa got you. The socks and the Christmas sweater with the weird reindeer and the jingly nose. You never wore those past Christmas, but you went for the good presents. I'm talking the presents from our Aunt Cindy. She would give good presents because she would actually discover what you liked the most, what you loved the most, and she would give you the coolest presents, even though she didn't have much. One year, we received these little Christmas trees when we were about six, and in it, each branch had $1 on it. By the end, we had found $25, and that was a mighty gift in 1982, 83. That was a mighty gift because that was a lot of money for them. We loved opening the gifts. It was an exciting thing. In fact, there are even YouTube channels right now that make millions of dollars doing what you would think would be the stupidest, most ridiculous thing in the world, simply unboxing or opening gifts. There's one of the most popular YouTube videos in the entire world called Ryan's World, where this kid from a young age, now he's almost an adult, has been opening gifts, and people tune in and watch. Now they have billions, not millions, billions of views to watch this kid opening gifts because there's something exciting about seeing someone open something that you don't know, and you have that anticipation. What's it gonna be? What's it gonna be like? What's inside? What's happening? There's mystery, there's excitement. Each and every one of you are housing a gift from God, not from Aunt Cindy, not from your grandmother and grandfather, not from your parents, but from God Almighty, and that's exciting. But what happens if a person never knows, or worse yet, what happens to a person that never uses their spiritual gifts? It would be a real tragedy if someone went their whole life unaware of the potential blessings that they kept unopened their entire life. Zach, let's roll the film.
Hi.
Hi.
I was marooned on an island for 5 years with this package, and I swore that I would deliver it to you because I work for FedEx.
That's very admirable. Thank you.
Hey, well, by the way, what's in the package?
Nothing really. Just a satellite phone, GPS locator, fishing rod, water purifier, and some seeds. Just silly stuff. Thank you again. You keep up the good work.
That would ruin anyone's day. Can I get an amen? Oh, nothing much, just a satellite phone, some fishing wire, a packet of seeds, like all the things, a water filtration device. Man, would that ruin your day? 5 years of misery. How tough would it be to find out that you had the freedom, the comfort, and survival the entire time, and your own freedom right in your package, waiting to be opened, and you left it unopened? As tragic as that tale is, I don't think any one of us men or young men in this room want to reach the end of our lives, get to heaven, be saved, and realize there were packages unopened in our lives. There were gifts untold treasures from God that he looks and says, I gave you all this and you never stepped out in faith. Why not? That would be a tragedy, dear brothers. You know, these gifts are made to encourage, strengthen, and edify the body of Christ, not just ourselves. We don't want to get to the end of our lives and find, like this poor sap, that we had everything we needed to bless others. But here's the thing, it's worse than just your survival. You have gifts right now, within your life, right now, that are made to help people, that are made to transform people, that are made to minister to people in their greatest times of needs, in their greatest time of need, and this is the time for you to search those out. And I'm talking to all the young men here, because there are future missionaries, there are future pastors, there are future deacons, elders, children's ministry teachers, aides, everyone. All of you are important. This is time for you to seek out your gifts today. The last thing I would want to leave you with, though, is in the condition of that poor sap who is there. We're going to dig into God's spiritual gifts. So let's look back at 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 11. For to one is given, it says in verse 8, for to one, let's talk about the spiritual gifts because you might wonder, well, now I want them. What are they? Let's read on and find out what some of them are. For to one is given the word of wisdom, that's one, through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gift of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. That means languages and prayer languages too. To another, the interpretation of those tongues or languages. But one and the same Spirit works all these, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So God has a plan for each and every one of us, and he strategically places us in the churches, in the places, in the locations we're at, and then he delivers one by one a spiritual gift to each and every one of you men to be used for his glory. This section of scripture reveals that there are a variety of gifts. That's exciting. God could have chosen one gift, teaching and preaching, and maybe a little evangelism. No, he chose a variety of gifts because God is a very creative God, and he's a loving God. Each of us have different ministries and activities that God has called us to in our church. When Christians exercise their gifts, the whole body of Christ is blessed. Every Spirit-led, Spirit-filled man in this room needs to know that we are called to exercise our spiritual gifts for God's glory and the good of his people. Let's move through this list really quick, and I'll also highlight where in the Bible some of these are actually demonstrated for you so you can see these gifts and understand them, because some of them seem very esoteric and hidden, strange even, but they're incredibly practical and powerful because God's using it to bless others through these wonderful gifts. Word of wisdom, number one. It's a supernatural insight of wisdom that instructs someone how to proceed through a trial or a situation, answer a difficult question. It's the how-to spiritual gift. If you're worried about how to do something, that's when the word of wisdom comes in handy. And we all need to know how to do many things in our life, especially when it comes to big spiritual or life-changing issues. This is a wisdom and answer that comes from God Almighty to bless others. The one example that I think of in the Old Testament is from Genesis 41. Joseph, one of the wisest men that ever lived, along with Solomon, he had a gift of wisdom, especially this word of wisdom. When Pharaoh called up this prisoner before his opulent throne room, Joseph interprets the Pharaoh's dream, and then he goes on to receive, like a lightning bolt, this entire plan, this 14-year and beyond plan to save the entire known world and hold together this entire empire. It'd be like the United States, the president, President Donald Trump, having someone come into his office and say, you know what we're going to have? We're going to have a famine that's going to wipe out the entire food chain around the whole world. And the only way we're going to survive is by doing this. And Joseph comes up with a plan right there. Was he smart enough to figure that out? No. It was a word of what? Wisdom from God. And he comes up with an amazing plan. He says, well, this is what we're going to do. He's not even asked, what are we going to do? He just says, here's the interpretation and here's what you're going to do. God just gives it to him. He says, you're going to take 20% of all the produce and all the grain over the next 7 years of plenty. You're going to pack that away. By the way, you're going to have to build massive storehouses. You're going to have someone over that project to build those massive storehouses. Stuff all that grain in there so that we can actually survive through the entire famine. What does that do? What's the final estimate of everything that happened through that one word of knowledge? One word of knowledge. One, the entire known world is saved. More importantly, the Jewish nation is saved through Jacob and all of his children. And who comes through that line? Jesus Christ. So that each and every one of us could be saved through one word of knowledge. The gifts of God are powerful. The spiritual gifts not only save lives, exercising this gift saved millions of lives and ensured the Messiah would come through the line of Judah. Exercising your gift, your spiritual gift that God has in you, has life-saving consequences. That's a true story. Next, word of knowledge. This is when God downloads private information about someone to minister to them for their good and God's glory. God gives you like a lightning bolt. Boom, like that. Everything you know about this person, something. He's not giving it to you to gossip about them. He's giving it to you to minister to them, to pray for them, and to bless them. I had that happen with a young girl. Young girl, right on the stage, whenever I was out in the children's ministry, I look out and God tells me, that girl's parents are getting divorced. Why did he tell me that? To minister to her. 3 weeks later, without any knowledge, I didn't see the interactions with the parents. It's not something that my brain just figured out because I saw them being rude to one another, giving each other the cold shoulder. None of that. 4 weeks later or 3 weeks later, the dad walks up to me and says, can you pray for us? We're getting a divorce. God gave me that to minister to that girl. God can give you words of knowledge too. Jesus exercised the word of knowledge for the woman at the well. He's talking to her and she's happy to talk to him until he asks the big question when he has the word of knowledge like that. Go get your husband. Oh, that was uncomfortable. Well, I don't have a husband. You say rightly. He said the five men you've been married to are not your husbands and that man you're living with now, he's not your husband. What happened? Well, you know what? God actually touched the life of another human being by Jesus exercising the word of knowledge, you guys. And this actually changed her entire life, this word of knowledge. The spiritual gift, it's powerful, it's intense, and it's beautiful. Hundreds of people are saved because Jesus exercised this word of knowledge, because that woman was so moved by his knowledge that she believed that he was the what? Messiah. Because he exercised that gift, she runs, grabs the whole village of Samaritans. Hundreds of these people are saved. They're some of the first people to get saved by Jesus because of this wonderful gift. Exercising your spiritual gifts not only has life-saving consequences and repercussions, but it has eternal consequences and repercussions. Then the gift of faith next. Simply put, it's an unshakable trust that God's going to see you through. It's unshakable trust in the character of God. He will come through without any doubt. And there's nothing more exciting than to be around men that have a gift of faith. You know how miserable it is to be around a bunch of Debbie Downers? A bunch of men that are constantly worried about men. It doesn't suit us. It doesn't suit us to walk around depressed and mopey all the time. It doesn't suit Christians. We have every opportunity to be dangerously optimistic and to be hopeful because we have a great God. And when you have a man around you and friends around you that have a gift of faith, they get you wound up. They get you excited. They lift you up. When you're dragging, they'll grab you by the shoulders and pick you up. They have a strength that's unique. And if you have this gift, you are highly valuable to the church of Jesus. You are highly valuable to us, to me, to the rest of the body of Christ. Can you think of a little fellow who faced certain death, the hand of a superior warrior, with more strength, more experience, and more skill, and more ferocity than he had? Of course, David. What does he say in 1 Samuel 17:37? He says, "The Lord will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Do you think that was his arrogance talking? Do you think that was his confidence and his ability to just win battles? God slowly built his faith in the Lord through helping him kill the lion and the bear. That was a gift of faith. Because there's no way that I'm running against a lion or a bear with a piece of leather and a rock. It's not going to happen. There's no way I'm going up against a mighty warrior, probably upwards of almost 500 pounds, 9'6". I'm not going to go against him without a gift of faith. David received a gift of faith, and when we exercise our gifts of faith, battles are won, enemies are defeated, and giants fall when you exercise your gift of faith. And God has given some of you a mighty gift of faith that you haven't exercised yet, but it's waiting. This is the time to seek that out. Then there's gift of healings and miracles. Acts 3:6, we have Peter and John at the gate, beautiful. What do they see? A lame man from birth, 40 some odd years, the guy hasn't walked. And they receive this gift of faith and this gift of healings and miracles. They grab the guy by the hand. What do they say? "Silver and gold have I not, but what I have I give to thee. In the name of Jesus, arise and walk." Lifts him up. He starts jumping, leaping. People come around. The crowd gathers because of the exercising of this gift of miracles and healings. And what happens? People are saved. Tons of people are saved. God gets the glory. Why? Because these men stepped out and they were crazy enough to exercise that gift of healing. Not the fake TV evangelists, not those guys that are con men. This is a real gift that God can still give and still does miracles. In fact, Chuck Smith shares that one day he was up front after a service many years ago, and he was praying with some people, and an older gentleman comes up in a wheelchair with his family. He takes one look at him. He said, "I didn't even think of it. I just had the Lord tell me, all right, heal him. He's up here for a healing." He prays and he goes, "You know what? In the name of Jesus, you're healed. Arise and walk," and pulls him up out of that wheelchair. I don't recommend it unless God gives you the word of this wonderful miracle of healing. But the guy stands up and he's healed. He starts walking around. The whole family flips out and they say, "Well, Pastor Chuck, this is better than we expected." He said, "Why?" He said, We weren't coming up here for a healing. He's had a cold for 4 weeks. We wanted you to pray that he gets better from the cold." And God healed him. This can happen. These are wonderful miracles. God is still a God of miracles. Then there's the gift of prophecy. It's a gift regarding the truth and the future, to build confidence, to warn people, to encourage people, to edify people. In Acts 21:11, a man named Agabus, a prophet, takes Paul's belt and binds his hands and his feet with them. And he warns Paul. He says, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, thus shall the Jews in Jerusalem do to the man who owns this belt and deliver him to the Gentiles." You're going to be arrested, Paul. Be warned. Paul still went with the knowledge that he would be bound, and went with confidence that God was with him. And that God already knew it was going to happen, but he still felt called. This is a powerful gift of prophecy to encourage your brothers and your sisters. When we prophesy, we reveal God's omniscience, that God knows the future, to our brothers and sisters and to the world around us. There's also discerning of spirits in this passage. This is a gift that allows Christians to identify what kind of spirit is at work. Because we've all come across this. There's the spirit of God at work at different times. There's the spirit of man, which is bad enough and evil and wicked. And then there's the spirit of the enemy. There's a demonic spirit that can work against us. In Ephesians 6:12, the word of God warns us about this. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places." Paul faced many spiritual demonic attacks. In Acts 16, as he's walking around with Silas, a slave girl's wandering around behind them and proclaiming. She's the PR person, so she's taking all the focus off of what God's doing with them, and she's giving them a bad name because she's demon-possessed, and she's proclaiming, they're the servants of the Most High, they're the servants of the Most High, mocking them, going on and on, disrupting the whole thing. Paul, frustrated, he says he was annoyed. I don't know about you, but I would not want to annoy the Apostle Paul, man. He was hardcore. He turns and he casts out the demon out of the girl. And for this effort and for this wonderful gift of freeing this poor girl, what were they celebrated by? By throwing them into a nice, comfortable, dank cell. That's what. After being beaten, what a thank you to them. My goodness. When we exercise our spiritual gifts, we can suffer consequences, but it's always worth it. I don't want to paint spiritual gifts as always having an outcome that's peachy and wonderful and little bluebirds singing on your shoulder like a Disney cartoon. It's not. Sometimes you exercise your spiritual gift. In fact, a lot of the time, you're going to get major pushback. When I was in college, it didn't matter if I had a cultural geography class or an art class. You know what they would do? They would attack the Word of God, the character of Christ, and Christianity. And you know what I did? I defended it. I was the bane of their existence. I was a thorn in every professor's side. Why? Because I was well taught by godly men and wonderful people here at Calvary. But it didn't always go well for me. It wasn't always fun. But when you exercise your spiritual gifts, you're going to get blowback and pushback, but it's worth it. Why? Because that Philippian jailer and his whole family were saved. And when you exercise your spiritual gift, don't ever shy away when it's hard, when you get blowback, when you get pushback, and when you're beaten up for it. That's the perfect time to do what Paul and Silas did when they were exercising their spiritual gifts. And what do they do in the jail? Did they mope around and get sad about it and cry about it? What did they do? They sang worship. They praised God. And you young men, when you exercise your gifts in this world out there, don't expect one person out in the world to pat you on the back and tell you what a strong Christian man you are. You're going to be shamed, you're going to be ridiculed, you're going to be attacked. Good. Good. That means you're going in the right direction. Every time I was ridiculed, mocked, attacked as a Christian in the world, good. Good. That's awesome. That's just what God wants. Good. As long as you do it in love, don't be a jerk. Don't be mean. Do it with love. Other gifts include tongues. That's other languages and prayer languages. The interpretation of those languages. The gift of helps. You just love helping people. And it comes to you naturally like breathing. You're going to run and meet every need. That's a gift from God. That's a powerful gift. We need more of that gift. Gift of administration. Mercy, teaching, etc., etc. Why are spiritual gifts so important? Because spiritual gifts are the way God manifests His Spirit through His church to bless the church, to magnify the name of Jesus Christ. It's a supernatural work. It's not a natural work. How do I discover my spiritual gifts, you might say? We will never know what spiritual gifts we have if we rarely or sporadically attend church. So I'm not talking to you guys. I'm talking to anybody else who's not here. I'm talking to people who don't come to church. I'm talking to people who, for Hebrews 10:25, it says this, "Do not forsake the fellowship of the saints." You know what I like to see? I like to see people who stick around after church. I like to see people who are there a little early. I like to see people who come out on a Saturday and are equipped to do mighty things for God. I like that. And I think God likes that too. It means get thee to church often. Do you know that your children and grandchildren are 40% more likely to walk with God if their father faithfully attends church? 40% more likely to walk with God if their father goes to church. That is powerful. You have more influence on your family as a man than anybody else. Any other man, any other influencer, anyone else in the world, you have the most influence on your family. But how do the spiritual gift thing work, you might ask? Do I choose one? Is it like a bunch of puppies running around? You pick your favorite? No, that's not how it works. We don't choose the gifts. They are gifted to us individually. From Jesus to the profit of all the members of the church. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And so each of us have a gift to help bless everyone else in this church and in your local church. And so we put together a 12-page spiritual gifts test packet under your chairs that we're going to take after that. I'm just kidding. You guys are all, what? That goes against everything you just said. I'm just seeing if you're paying attention. You're doing great. Romans 12, 4 through 8, it says this. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many, we're all many, are one. We're one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts, all different according to the grace that is given to us. Here's the point. Let us use them. Let us use them. If prophecy, then prophesy in proportion to your faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering to people. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality. It means be generous throughout those hundreds. He who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. But again, a gift is useless if it goes unopened and it goes unused. What good is a guitar if it's never used? Even if it's open and it sits there and you never play it, are you really a guitarist? No. The only way the friends that I know, like Kit, Mike, other people that play guitar, they use it. It's a gift. You are made to operate within your gift. Verse 6 keeps it simple. Let us use them. But now that I've told you to use it, you might wonder, how? Pastor Mark, how do I use my gift? Search out your spiritual gifts through service. Search out your spiritual gifts. Feel out your spiritual gifts through different areas of service. And you'll find what works. You'll find where God's called you. All different services. I knew at a very young age I was called to be a pastor, to be a leader. At a very young age, but I didn't tell anyone. I didn't say a word to anyone. God revealed it to me, and I took the road of David, and I took the road of Joseph, not to mention, and I still take that road. If I know God's promised me something, I don't say a word about it. I quietly and faithfully serve my master until he reveals it. You can do the same, and God will reveal everything to you and bring you where he wants you as he gifts you. Each of you has one, two, or maybe even three gifts, maybe four. You may have never placed yourself in an environment, though, to use them. And so unless you place yourself within an environment to use them, you're never going to know how many gifts you have. I just started out one day, spend the night at a friend's house, my friend Kenny Moore. The next day, it's early. Never spend the night at a worship leader's house. Never. You'll end up a pastor. That's what happens. It's late. We're laughing. We're talking. It's super late. We get up super early, go down to 10th and F, where Calvary used to be, walk into the children's ministry. There's Chuck Fleming, the old youth and children's pastor. Hey, Mark, what's up? Oh, yeah, we're with Kenny, rubbing the sleep out of our eyes. Hey, blah, blah, blah. I'm like 17. Hey, what? We got an extra spot on the worship team. Hop up. I don't know any of the songs, guys. I can't do it. Sorry, can't do it. I don't know. Can't do it. It doesn't matter. What do you mean it doesn't matter? We will never take no for an answer. Beware, if we invite you out to lunch, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You're gonna get a ministry. No, just kidding. But kind of, because Chuck did that to me too. But they said, all you have to do is mouth watermelon, watermelon, watermelon in the mic. The kids don't know. And so there I am, as dumb as can be. No training. Just trying to copy the next week. Oh, we got these puppets in. What are we going to do? Well, what's the lesson on? Give me a pencil. Write up the lesson. We start a puppet team. We start a puppet ministry. We start this. We start that. And then slowly everything just starts rolling out, serving in a million different areas all over. and finding all these fun gifts and wonderful things. Why? Because I spent the night at a worship leader's house. So we have a sign-up sheet for Mike Terrell's house starting, no, I'm just kidding, starting Tuesdays. The gifts are useless unless you use them and serve. In Mark 10:45, Jesus sets the example for all Christians to follow. All of us. Jesus says this, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Serve. But to serve. To lay down your life. To give of your time. To give his life a ransom for many. Two words stand out to me. Serve and give. These are actions that every man can accomplish. Do you have time? Give it. If you have time, find a place to give it to the Lord. Do you have a life? Serve with it. Now, there's a very accomplished man. He's not necessarily spiritual, but I like the idea because it's true. And he's a famous action hero and star that I grew up with. He's not a moral example, but I like his work ethic, so I use him as an example just for that. Arnold Schwarzenegger. That guy works harder than anybody else throughout his entire life. Bodybuilding, number one. Acting, number one. Everything. Overcoming speech issues, thick accents, everything else. His father told him one thing. If you're going to be one thing in life as a man, his father told him, be useful. Be useful. And you're not useful within your own strength as a Christian. You're useful to the Lord because he gifts you and gives you gifts to use for him. And if you're going to be one thing as a Christian, be useful to the Lord. Be useful to the Lord. And it's a privilege to serve our great master. The only way to search out your gifts is by serving others in different capacities. You may have a gift of giving, so start giving. You may have a gift of hospitality and you care about people, so start serving them and blessing them and making them feel right at home. You might have a gift of prophecy where you speak the truth and you know that perfect verse for that perfect moment. You might have a gift of teaching and you're not even using it. Administration, and you could help organize all kinds of things. Oh, there's a million things to organize in this church. Come, we'd love to have you come and help us out. Gift of helps. You'd never know it because you've never or rarely served. The gifts are discovered in motion. There's a certain man who's very fascinating to me. Dean Kronazes is his name. Very strange name, I know. But Dean here is an ultra-marathon champion who possesses a superhuman ability to run without fatigue. He runs, there's a certain amount of fatigue he receives, and then that's it. It caps and it drops. In 2005, he ran 350 miles in 80 hours and 44 minutes without sleep. 350 miles. That dude's incredible. He ran 50 marathons over 50 states in 50 days. His body is uniquely designed for running. He doesn't produce the same amount of fatigue that other people do. How did he discover this? Well, on his 30th birthday, he went out after a business dinner in his dress clothes, dress shoes, work outfit, not workout clothes, not tennis shoes, and had an overwhelming desire to just run. Because he's like, I'm 30, I wonder how far I could run, because I used to run in high school. He ran all night. By the end, he ran 30 miles. He said, my feet were bleeding, but I didn't feel tired. I felt exhilarated. So after this, we're gonna have a marathon right out front. No, I'm just kidding. You guys are all, I didn't sign up for that. I don't have that much faith. You have too much faith in me, Pastor Mark. How did he discover his unique ability? How? How did he discover it? He ran. He did something. How do you discover your gifts? Not by sitting down, by getting involved. That's how you discover your gifts. It's that simple. You see, every one of us have been given spiritual gifts, and if that gift is left on the shelf, we'll face regrets. We'll face disappointment, we'll face loss, we'll face frustration. The importance of the gift is defined by the giver. Jesus gives us the gifts. And in Ephesians chapter 4, 11 and 12, it says, and he himself, God Almighty, gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the equipping, Why are we gifted these offices of spiritual gifts too? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. That's you. That's this whole place right here. That's why we've been given these abilities. That's why we've been given these gifts. It's to bless everyone else, not ourselves. That's being useful, men. That's being useful. Please note that this isn't a list of spiritual gifts to do, but this list here in Ephesians 4 is something different. It's not a list of gifts to exercise. It's a person to be. This is when you are called into an office by God Almighty in the church. Some of us are called to be apostles. It means an ambassador. Some are prophets proclaiming the truth and exercising their spiritual gifts to encourage the body as messengers from God to the body of Christ. Some are evangelists that have a burning in their hearts to go out and tell the world about how great God is, like Hudson Taylor, who was crazy enough to go to China. And he witnesses to over 25,000 people. They're saved because of direct contact with him. 25,000 people are saved. That's just in the direct contact. Then he brings over 800 other missionaries through his ministry. And over 125,000 people are saved. And now it's in the millions, I'm sure. Why? Because one man took one step of faith and exercised one gift. One man took one step of faith and exercised one gift, a gift of evangelism. God only knows what can happen if we did that. In the 30-year celebration Pastor Damien shared many, many years ago now, almost 10 years ago or more, Pastor Damien shared right here from this stage something amazing that happened through one person's gift. He said he was new to the church. Things were going fine, but man, it is hard. He spent late nights at the emergency room only to wake up bright and early Sunday morning and then teach all day. A lot of late nights in the emergency room when you're the only pastor doing everything. And it was hard, but it was great. It was wonderful. He never complained once. But in that season, he needed a little encouragement. And you know what he needed? It's the simplest thing. And the Lord knew it. And God Almighty put one couple in the church that had a gift. And he knew that Pastor Damien that Sunday needed encouragement. And this is the simplest thing. That couple simply looked over at the little table that was there, down where they were meeting. This sad little table with coffee. And they didn't have many cups. They'd run out of cups. And there were hardly any napkins. And they said, we'll buy some cups for the church and make sure everybody can have a coffee. And we'll buy some napkins so that everybody can put their little mother's cookies. Oh, then mother's cookies at 10th and F were, oh, I don't know what they did to them. I think they prayed a blessing over them because you had to get there quick after service. Because those mother cookies, they were gone, man. They were gone. But they decided to get some cups and some napkins. And Pastor Damien said, and he got choked up saying it. He said, he looked over and saw cups and napkins there, full to the brim, and everybody enjoying. And he looked over and he said, someone believes in this work of the Spirit. Someone believes in this work of the Spirit here. Someone believes in the work of God here. Someone believes. And the Holy Spirit knew that he needed that little encouragement and sent that encouragement through a couple that noticed a need to be filled, a simple need to be filled, and they filled it. They stepped up and they gave. It's so simple when exercising your gifts. There's only one short window of time that kind of a small but powerful manifestation of the Spirit could be so impactful at the beginning of the work here at Calvary Chapel Modesto. And you might be gifted in ways as ministries start here, or even ministries that have been around 20, 30, 40 years here, and you step up. The same people that have kept them going cannot keep them going forever. We need men, we need young men to step up and to serve and to carry on. and to be strong men of God and exercise their gifts, because too many men sit by idle in the bleachers when God's Holy Spirit is beckoning you to the field of service. Don't make the church a warehouse, dear men, filled with unloaded boxes like an Amazon distribution center that's never opened. Open the gift. Use it for God's glory and our blessing. Without men exercising their spiritual gifts, none of us would be here. Someone witnessed to you. Someone exhorted you. Someone encouraged you. Someone invited you to church. Someone vacuumed these floors. Someone opened these doors. Someone turned on these lights. You have gifts. Let's search them out and look. I look out at this room and my mind races at the potential of what God could accomplish with the men in this room if each and every one of us stepped up and simply won. And many of you are. It's not a gotcha moment. Many of you are serving. You're the backbone of so many things here at church. So I say, God bless you. I'm thankful for you. But what could God do if each one of us stepped up in one area in a major way and just said, I'm going to commit fully to this one area or two areas, who knows, three, four, whatever. Who knows what could happen with the potential here if we exercise our gifts? Only God knows. Mighty works of the Spirit could happen if we all search out our gifts and open them through service. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. We pray that you'd bless our time now as we, Lord, wait on you, as we search out those gifts, Lord. We're not limited. You're not limited, God. We pray that you'd give each and every gift, Lord, to our brothers, that you would strengthen us for the work of the ministry, that you would help us as we search out those gifts and look to see where we could serve, Lord, where we could give, where we could help, Lord. Help us seek your face in prayer and find where you want us to be, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, men.